Good morning.
Good morning.
And to you on the other side of the camera, hello, good morning, and welcome into church this morning, your church, Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. Our sermon title today is called Not Always, and we're going to take our scripture lesson today from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 10 verses. While you're looking that up, in the evenings it was fairly warm. And the sheriff would sit out on the front porch of his little sheriff's house there, and he'd watch. And he had to take notice that one of the people at church that was in church also was fishing. And he would walk by every evening with a bucket of fish. And he got to thinking for a moment. He goes, you know, I know that fella, and I don't think he's got a fishing license. And so the next evening, as he was getting ready to come away from the bank, the sheriff called him and said, Henry, you got a fishing license for them fish? And he said, no, I don't need one. The sheriff said, what do you mean you don't need one? He said, well, these are pet fish. The sheriff said, what? He goes, oh, yeah, I keep these at home. You see, I've got a little pond out in the backyard now. I put a bathtub in, made me one of them little fishing koi ponds. And I keep them in there. But, you know, the thing is only so big, and my fish like to swim. He said, so every evening when it's just about that time, I gather them up here in this bucket and I take them down there to the bank and I let them out there and swim, and I've trained them that when I call for them, they come back and get in the bucket and we go back to the house. And the sheriff says, well, I've got to see this. He said, well, come on. So they went down there and they walked down to the end of the bank, and Henry took the bucket and dumped his fish out in there and they swam away, and him and the sheriff sat there talking for a while, and finally the sheriff turned to Henry and said, well, when are you going to call them fish back? And Henry looked at him and said, what fish? Let us join our hearts together now as we find ourselves in the scripture. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians, says, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not become a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let us add God's words and blessings in our heart as we come with him in prayer. Father, hear us as we come forward now. Let these words, let these thoughts make sense as they come from me, but from you. Strengthen our hearts through them and give us the path that we're going to walk this week. Give us the lesson that we need to hear. Pray that it opens hearts and minds and falls where it needs to, that it will become fertile, Father. Thank you for allowing us to hear them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. There is something I often hear that, it tickles me every time I hear it. The first thing is, when people find out I'm a Christian, they kind of step back for a moment. And a lot of those people that knew me prior still cock their head to one side and go, okay. But then there's the others that find out I'm a Christian and I'm a preacher, a pastor. And they say this thing to me that always makes me laugh. Wow, God must really smile on you, right? Jesus, you know, you're pastoring, you're preaching the word. Must be pretty good for you. And I have to laugh and look at them and say, not always. Not always. You see, it's a widely accepted thing. Pastor Bill, you know what I'm talking about. It's a widely accepted thing that when you become a Christian, everybody looks at you differently, right? Because Christians are supposed to walk around happy all the time. La la da da da. Hey, look, got a flat tire on the car. La 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 la. Oh, what is this? Is this another audit from the IRS? That's all right. I'm happy. Not true. We're still human. We are not righteous. We haven't been made into whole. We haven't been completed yet. So yeah, we're not always happy. And if there's one thing that follows that with some Christians, some pastors, some of them with the name, and I'm not going to mention his name because it would embarrass him, so I'll give you his initials. And this pastor falls into this vein more often than not. His initials are Paul N. Leatherman III. We went on vacation last week. Now, for weeks prior, now, first of all, let's back up and understand a few things. Number one, I am not a beach person. It's not my thing. I mean, my family has made me into a beach person. Me, I try to talk to them every year. Let's have a staycation. Let's stay home and go to museums and we'll go experience things that are in the state. And we'll come back to the house every evening and we'll sleep in our bed and we'll eat our food. And my family always says the same thing and it's kind of hurtful. Shut up, Dad. We're going to the water. Well, there's a pond right up the road there at Greenbrier. That's not the beach. They got sand, not the beach. They've made me into a beach person. And there are certain aspects about it I like. And this year was going to be the year. Let me tell you about me and the beach this year. I bought a special cart to go down on the beach. They had special wheels on it. And it hooks into the back of the bumper of my car. And everything that goes into it, when you slide it off, you put the wheels on it, and it turns into a cart. I was so excited. I put that thing together. I pushed it all around the yard like I was somebody. Oh, yeah. And then I read, at the beach, you can rent a golf cart. They call it an AEV, an alternative electric vehicle. And you can ride that golf cart around the streets of the city there, Wildwood, at the beach. It's got turn signals and brake lights. And I thought, me loose on a golf cart riding around the streets is the ultimate. We're going to rent a golf cart. Yeah, boy. And they had the tram cars running again. And I love riding a tram car. And I like going on the boardwalk because there's corn dogs and french fries and hamburgers and pizza and all kinds of ice creams and candies and cakes and a lot of people to look at. And I was all excited. I like that part of it. And I will go down to the beach and I'll set up Camp Leatherman down there with our tent and all the stuff that's like that. And I'll walk out in the ocean and let it knock me down about 14 times. And then I'll say, that's enough of that. And I'll just go back and sit with my tractor book on the beach and I'll read. And I was excited. Finally going on vacation. I don't get vacation. This was going to be the week I was turning the phone off and just walking away from everything. I don't often get that. And so we got ready. And we started planning, and Wendy has everything laid out. And 3 days before we leave for the beach, one of the boys gets sick. Uh-oh. I'm like, you better get better. So we just did everything. And I was like, that's all right, that's one. The next day, the other boy got sick. 2 days to go till we leave for the beach. I'm like, I'm going to have sick children at the beach. All right, we'll get them better. Here, come down to the shop. I'm going to pour gasoline in you. That'll cure it. So they started feeling better. And I get excited again. And we load the excursion up. And we're all happy. Got my new cart on the back. And I made a bracket to hold the bicycle holder. So we had the cart and the bracket and the bicycles. And everything's packed in. And we're ready to go. And we're going to ride the ferry boat over there. And we're going to have a good time. And we get in the car. And nothing. It won't start. And I don't mean it won't start. The battery ain't dead. Something is really wrong. Click, 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 click. And I started saying prayers. Father, if you love me, you know, I preach for you and everything. Could you just magically start this car? And he said, nope. And do you want to know, did I smile? Not always. So we transferred everything over to the pickup truck. And we took off. And we missed the ferry. That's supposed to be the start of the vacation, which means on the other side of that ferry is a place called Mike's Bayshore Restaurant that I love. Didn't get to go there. See the smile? Getting a little lower. And so we get to the room. We start getting things unloaded. And just about 20 miles before we got to the room, we hit this bump in the road, and the bracket that holds the bicycle, my own design, broke. And the bicycles went down and kept going down, and I thought, we are never going to make it. And we got there just as they were about to fall off the back of the truck. We get unloaded, we get in, we look out. The beach is so crowded, you can't see sand. So we decide we're going to wait for a day. And then it gets exciting. Wendy gets sick at the beach for 3 days. And so we couldn't go out on the boardwalk because the boys were still sick and I can't go without her. And we didn't get to ride the tram car. And we didn't get to go on the boardwalk with the tram car. And we couldn't go on the beach. And one day we tried to go out on the beach. The wind was blowing 6,000 miles an hour. And then Buck comes back after he goes for a ride on his bicycle and goes, look, Dad, he's holding pieces of his bike that broke. So we spent the time to go down, and his bike spent 2 days in the bike shop, him not able to ride it. And we usually rent bicycles, and we didn't rent bicycles because Wendy didn't feel up to it yet. And one thing after another, and I didn't get, Wally went to get a corn dog, and they undercooked it, and I didn't get a corn dog, and it was vacation. See the smile? Does it look like I'm a Christian? Not always. But something started to happen. Wendy started feeling better. We actually did get on the boardwalk. We rented bicycles, pedaled 4 miles back and forth, looked at everything that was left open, because after Labor Day, they shut up half the beach. And it turned out to be okay. And when we were leaving on Friday, I started to get a little sad. I was like, you know, we just didn't quite get it done. And as we were driving away, I began to take stock of what happened. And I began to think, it got better. We did have some time. I actually did relax a little bit. I almost stayed completely away from work, except for several hours on the phone trying to straighten something out. And then the next day, we went on another trip. And some things began to change in my head. Because you see, when things start to go south and start to get let down, one of the things I hate about myself the most starts up. The pity party. Oh, woe is me. My name is Paul Leatherman. Woe is me. Everything happens to me. Frederick Bucher, in his book Wishful Thinking Transformed by Thorns, said of the seven deadly sins, anger is the most fun. That was me, angry. He said to lick wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue, the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come. Can anybody hear that? Well, everything's just going wrong and it's just going to keep going wrong. To savor the last toothsome morsel, both the pain you are given and the pain you are given back, in many ways is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback, he writes, is that you are wolfing down yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you, with the anger and the annoyances. And I struggle. And I get wound up over those people. I've got people all around me all the time. Oh, woe is me. Nothing ever goes right. I don't have anything. And I laugh at them. I'm like, really? You have a house. You have a car. You have a roof over your head. You got a job. You got grass growing out there. And then guess who becomes King Pity Party Man? Ta-da! And I laugh at them for this, and I'm like, yeah, but it's not always like that. And I know I'm beating a drum again in this sermon. But do you know why? I've told you 100,000 times, these sermons are not for you. They're for me. Because I am a head of poured concrete. And I need to be reminded constantly. Because, look, I had a conversation with Linda. And we'll get to that in a moment. Right before church started, you may have seen her looking at me like this. And if you've known Linda Strait, and you know that look, when she gives that look to me, that look means, why don't you just listen to me? Well, it's because I have to do this if I truly want to listen. Put one finger in this ear so it stays put. My problem is, I know, and I still fall victim to it. So yeah, I'm not always the preacher. I'm not always the Christian. I need to be constantly reminded. I need to know where I have failed. Because it lifts me back up when I know it. And the process is, you all ride along. You all hear these sermons. You all hear what goes through this area. And it talks to you, I hope. We go back into the scripture and we look at what Paul is talking about. Peggy, I got to know this because one of the things that pastors and preachers are often tasked with is you preach the same thing from the same scripture just 4 or 5 years ago. Why can't you preach something new? Peggy, when was the last time I used this scripture?
The first time in my Bible.
Really?
Today.
How about that? I'm not getting cocky. I'm just... Don't hit me with lightning. Please don't smoke. Smite me. Well then, let's go into the scripture that I have never preached from before. Paul is talking about himself at the beginning. Paul is saying he is the one 14 years ago that he doesn't know what happened. He says, I don't know whether I went to heaven. I don't know whether I left my body. God only knows. The only thing is that this man, at that time, Saul, saw things that you just cannot speak of. And I was allowed to know what is out there. I was given this great surpassing vision. And that is what I have seen. And that is what I, Paul Letterman, have seen. He says, I'm not boasting as Paul. I am talking about a man who was allowed to see that so that his life would change. As we each became a Christian, we were given the same vision, allowing our life to change. We all got to see Jesus dying for our sins. See, Paul wasn't there. And I often wonder if Jesus didn't take him back to and have him watch that crucifixion. That's how I've often thought of it. But he goes on to talk about it. He says, I'm not bragging. He heard inexpressible things that a man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except for my weakness. And that's where we're at today. I am not always Paul the preacher, Paul the Christian. Many days, many times, I am Paul the weak. I am Paul the lost. I am Paul the foolish. I am Paul the angry. I am Paul the annoyed. And you know what I found out? That's okay. He says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I'm speaking the truth. When we become Christians, we follow that. We talk about our weaknesses to everybody. And we're not boasting. We're telling the truth. And it's not foolish. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. And then we get to that magical verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He's burdened. There is tons of speculation as to what the burden is. It's never made known. It's never talked about. Bible scholars have debated this for eons. Some of them say he had epilepsy. Some of them say he had malaria. Some of them say he was haunted with the fact that he was part of killing Jews. And that memory, that thought, that pain was not allowed to be taken away. Nobody knows. Except that he says, I have a thorn given to me by Satan to torment me. Well, I have my own thorns. And so do you. And we're not always able to handle them. As a matter of fact, I would reckon that more often than not, we cannot handle them. I know what my thorns are. My thorns are a temper of epic proportions, lack of patience, and quick to be annoyed. I started out a vacation so happy because all I could think about was the fun. And one thing after another let us down. And instead of just seeing the fact that, hey, I had another truck I could get into, we were able to make it, we drove over there. We got there. Yeah, we had some problems, but we did some things. Did I get in a golf cart and ride around? No. Will I next year? Maybe. Did I get to do everything I wanted to? No. But did we get to do some things? Yeah. Did we get to come away from that somewhat refreshed? Yeah. Somewhat. And it's in those moments of weakness as I prayed why I heard the words. Because you are weak. And because of that, you turn to me. And because you turn to me, I will make you strong again. Paul goes on to write, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. And yes, I will. I will tell you how weak I am. And I will not be ashamed of it. I will struggle with it every single day until they take me away from here. I will hope and pray that I get better at it. And I think I've gotten a little better at it. Mildly. Hey, come to the shop. Wrenches don't fly across the floor anymore. They might get thrown straight down instead of on an arc, but it's in His power that my weakness is shown to be His strength. It's in His power that your loss, your trial, your struggle, your tribulation is shown to be His strength. And that is what Paul is writing. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Viktor Frankl was a concentration camp survivor. Viktor Frankl could have been the epitome. I cried because my feet hurt until I saw a man that had no feet. He wrote these words. Everything can be taken away from a man but one thing. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. Your choice. You know, you can wallow around in a pity party. Victor took these words from 2 Philippians chapter 2 in the 12th verse. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, Paul writing, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Now that's tough to live up to, because we do want to complain. And we will complain. Not always, but we will. Paul writes back into that saying, trust in God. Give it to Him and allow that to be your strength. And learn how to handle the annoyances. I don't know if I've told this story before, but I stumbled across it in my sermon illustrations, and I love it. I wish somebody would do this to me. because I'm going to be ready for him. But listen, Pastor Don Baker relates the story of Reverend Tom Erickson. He said the public library has a system called Dial a Tale. Anytime a young child wants to hear a fairy tale, he can call the number and a voice comes on reading a short fairy tale to the listening young ear. That's pretty cool, isn't it? However, the number is one digit different from Reverend Tom Erickson. Because the small fingers often make a mistake, Tom gets frequent calls from a child listening for a fairy tale. After several unsuccessful attempts to explain the wrong number to the child, he felt he only had one alternative. After being annoyed, he obtained a copy of The Three Little Pigs, set it by the phone. Now, whenever a child calls, he simply reads them the fairy tale. A beautiful illustration of yielding in annoyance, in an invasion of personal rights. As you might have thought, he never changed his phone number to avoid it. He merely accepted it. I've got a copy of Thomas the Tank Engine to read to him. So have your children call me. I'll read to them. Whip, whip. Not always comes from being annoyed sometimes too easily. Not always comes from forgetting who we are. Not always, when we're in that frame of mind, comes from the fact that we get lost forgetting we're Christians. Yesterday, my wife and I, and I'm about to come to the Linda part of this. Yesterday, my wife and I were the guests of the George family on a bus trip up to Sight and Sound. We had never been. Oh, my goodness gracious. We went to see Queen Esther, which happens to be one of my favorite stories, not because it's the Bible story, but because of the way VeggieTales did it. Anybody in here ever watch VeggieTales? If you haven't seen the Queen Esther VeggieTale, they boil it down into something more simple for children or people like me. And in that story, the king asks Queen, whatever her first name was, asks her to make him a sandwich, and she won't. So he throws her out the window. And then he gets old Queen Esther to come make him a sandwich, and he's so happy about it, he makes her his queen. And that's how the story's played in VeggieTales. And I wanted to go. And so we went. And the reason Linda gave me that face is, and this is a woman thing, I told you. You just won't listen to me, will you? No. That's not my way. So we go. And we did a couple other things. And I told John the next time, if we ever get invited along, I need him to sit with me at the Hershey Farm Park smorgasbord with a hammer. When he sees me get up for that seventh plateful, hit me right here with it. Because oh my goodness. But we go in and we see Queen Esther. First of all, the experience of Sight and Sound is like nothing I have ever been around in my entire life. Set your mouths on stun. Are you ready? I have stood alongside the rails and watched the magnificent ladies of steam, those big fire-breathing beauties, pound rails on grades, barking. And they do not compare to what I saw yesterday. It was amazing. But in the middle of all that, oh no, I marked it. I know what psalm it is. In the middle of all that, I did mark it, folded the page. In the middle of all that came this, for not always. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord. The desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Her entire story is summed up there. Everything that could possibly happen to Queen Esther, and she continued to stay in Him. She could have been walking around the whole time. Not always. She could have had a pity party the whole time. She chose to continue to put her faith in Him. That's what we need to do. That's what Paul is saying. In our weaknesses, Christ's power is the strongest, because we need Him more and more. Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm that caught a vessel off a rocky coast and threatened to drive it right into oblivion. Its passengers were all scared that they were going to die. And in the midst of terror, one daring man, contrary to orders, went to the deck and made a dangerous passage to the pilot house. And there he saw the steersman at post, holding the wheel unwaveringly, and inch by inch turning the ship out once more to sea. The pilot saw the watcher and smiled. Then the daring passenger went below and gave a note of cheer. I have seen the face of the pilot, and he has smiled. All is well. Though our lives are not always going to be good, though we are not always going to have the answers, though we are not always going to be able to escape the pain, though we are not always, always, always going to be able to get away from it. Usually it's the last song. Today from my top 10. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Brothers and sisters, it's not always going to be like this. It's not always going to be hard. And yet, it's not always going to be easy. But that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships, persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We will not always be here, but one day we will always be with Him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for what You've given us, for what You've taken away. We thank You for all the things that You have surrounded us with to remind us where to go in all times. In times of trouble, in times of joy, in times of uncertainty, in times of failure, in times of weakness, You remind us that even though we walk around, woe is me, everything is bad, oh, woe, 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 we are Christians. And we are made perfect if we simply turn back to You and ask for Your help. Our weakness is Your strength, because it allows You to work with us yet again. Thank You, Father, for this reminder, for pushing us just a little bit harder to stay on that path. Father, as we come before You, we pray that You continue to remember us. We're thankful, and we're in awe of Your mercy and grace, and most assuredly of Your Son Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. As we sing the last hymn, we kind of changed it up a little bit today. If you'll notice, our altar has the flag on it. We sing today's final hymn, America the Beautiful, in honor of them. But this hymn is also a reminder of the hardships and struggles that are constantly endured, and how this nation, one nation under God, founded on the principles of Jesus Christ, is a reminder that in our weaknesses, He is made strong. If you don't know Him, come forward today. On the other side of the camera, if you don't know Him, let me know. And may God keep and bless each and every one of you. Amen and thank you.